60 years later, I'm here in the United States. I am part of the organization, of the Holocaust organization. I told them the story about Rabbi Schechter screaming, "Jews, you're free," and all that stuff, and telling him the whole story. And said, "You know, it would be nice if there would be a reunion between the two of you. So call him." I called him. His wife is still alive. An old man. He was 4 years older than me. So I said to his wife and to him, "I would like you to be make a reunion." Babette told him the whole story. She says, "No, he can't. He's no longer in good health." Eventually, she said she agreed, and we had a reunion, and I have a tape of it. Okay, I have a tape of that. What happened was, last year, I'm in Florida for the winter, and I'm in a place, we have 1,200 homes, and we have a Seder night, two Seder nights in the dining room, and usually 500 people show up to the Seder night. The dining room is big enough, and I was there for the second Seder night with my family. My son came from California with his family, and we celebrated, and I was asked to say a few words, you know. As a survivor, say something, you know. So I told her the story about the suit that my mother gave me for Passover, and then the war broke out, all that. And then I told them about Rabbi Schechter, how he came into Buchenwald and screamed, "Jews, you're free," and all this. And some of them were crying when I told them that whole story. The next day, I get a call from some people. "Melvin, your story's in the New York Times." I said, "You must be crazy. How is that possible?" "It's in the New York Times." What happened was, he died, the rabbi, and this was his eulogy. And they said exactly the same thing I said, that how he came into Buchenwald screaming, "Jews, you are free." Okay? So they thought this was my story. But now the end of it is this. At the same time, our President Obama was in Israel. And this rabbi, the chief rabbi of Israel, who is now the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, his name is Rabbi Lau. Lau, yes. He's the chief rabbi, and he's showing the president Yad Vashem and all that, and he's telling him because of Schechter died, he's telling him exactly the same story I told him. I said, okay, and who is that rabbi? Believe it or not, that little boy Lulek. Isn't that? Would you believe that? Is that rabbi? So is this? Is there anything else I can say here?
Oh my God, just amazing. You are amazing. So you came here in 1950.
Yeah.
When did you meet your wife?
In Israel. That was another story. I was well established in business in 1956. Mind you, I came 50. I was well established in business. I already made good profits. And I went on a business. I was manufacturing picture frames. But the fancy ones. Fancy. These. Let's see all these fancy stuff.
All of these?
Yeah.
And then you went to Israel.
I was importing stuff from Belgium and Holland. So I went on a business trip to Europe. And on the airplane, a lot of young people going to Israel. They were singing the song, the Zionist songs and all that. And I became part of it. They didn't realize I'm not going to Israel. So when they found out I'm not, they were screaming, "What? You of all the people are not?" So, you know, I said to myself, I always, since childhood, wanted to go to Israel. I was so crazy about going to Israel from childhood. I was a Zionist when I was 12 years old already. So I said, I'm going to call up my manager and tell him I'm going to Israel. And you know, like, he'll have to stick it out for another few days. I went and I got in touch with a friend of mine who I knew from Switzerland. And he invited me to his house for dinner. His wife is from the same country as Elsa, my wife, from Czechoslovakia. Elsa was in England for 8 years, so she spoke English very well. She was a secretary, working as an English secretary for an American banking company. And so she invited her to, for my sake, okay, her company's sake. And I proposed to her within 15 minutes.
So she was a survivor as well.
Yes.
So she got out before the war. Did she get out before the war? She was there.
No.
The war.
She was in Auschwitz. She was in Auschwitz during the war.
Did she tell her story? Did she tell her story?
She doesn't usually, but maybe she will.
We'll come back. Yeah. Wow. So you proposed within 15 minutes, and she came.
She said no.
Well, I don't blame her. 15 minutes.
I don't know you.
But it's right. Oh, that's too funny. So how long did it take before she said yes?
We got married the same year in December.
Okay. And so what made you decide? She was living in Israel, so she decided to come to the United States.
She came here.
She came to the United States.
And we got married here, yes, in the Bronx. Many, many years ago.
Oh, wow.
1956.
You have a son who lives in California. Do you have any other children?
Yeah, I have a daughter who lives here in Manchester.
Oh, good. How many grandchildren?
I have five. The most wonderful grandchildren. You know, last week, my daughter has a 14-year-old boy, and she spoke to the English teacher, and about me, and he says, why don't we have him here to talk to the kids? And it's okay. I said, all right, I'll talk to the kids. It's my grandson. And the principal found out. He says, why don't we make this a little bigger? So it turned out we had 250 kids in the auditorium.
This is in Eastchester?
In Eastchester. Last Monday or 2 weeks Monday, I can't remember anymore. And it was unbelievable. Oh, these kids, they wouldn't,
been so proud.
They did not stop asking questions. And the same thing today. They didn't stop. We had to stop.
Now, what school? You went to a parochial school today, you said?
Yeah. Called the Lady of Sorrows.
Oh, Our Lady of Sorrows. Ireland, yes.
Right
yes.
Here.
I used to know the pastor there. Yeah.
Right next to
Mamaroneck Avenue.
Mamaroneck Avenue.
Right. Exactly, yeah, I know. Oh, that's terrific. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, you are amazing.
You are amazing, is right.
Is there anything else you want to add to this that you think you, or you got it all?
I think there are a million stories.
I could still sit here for 24 hours.
And so your brother got here first, and he and settled in, and I came.
He was here 3 years before I came. And when I came, he already had a brand new car. Can you imagine? I mean, to me at that time, came a brand new car. So he picked me up from Hoboken, I think it was Hoboken, New Jersey, and from the ship. And before I came, I made a point of studying the subway system, the railroad system, and the highway system. I figured that I don't want to be a stranger when I get that. It take me years to find out. I'll be there right away, like this.
So how long did it take you to master English? You speak Yiddish, German, Polish?
Yeah, I spoke English already in Europe because I was learning in Europe before I came. Yes, of
so
course, not like today.
So you speak four languages.
Yeah. Right. So a little Russian, a little Hebrew.
Too.
Did you ever find out anything that happened to your friend Ivan?
No. You know what what Stalin did? He did not trust any of those who were prisoners of war by the Germans. He took them all and he to Siberia. I don't know if he was one of them or not.
So then, when you came here, you went to the same business. Once you came here, you were in the same business of.
Yeah. He started the business.
Started the business here, right? And then you continued the framing business.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's beautiful.
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
Do your children have things too?
No. Huh?
Do your children have things framed in their homes?
Oh, my daughter, yes.
Yeah.
She. But I have frames in the museum, in all the museums that I made.
Yeah, they look familiar. They look what you see.
I know,
exactly.
I have frames of mine even in the White House.
Wow. That's amazing. You are truly amazing.